Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
I am David Durham. My colleague here, I'm a retired United Methodist minister. Spend most of my time in central New York and western New York and England. So if I speak funny like or something, then you know why. But we're here to worship the Lord, who has guaranteed that grandmother will be okay. So that's good news. I invite you now to join with me in the call to worship. The Lord calls us, church. Hear the cry of the oppressed.
How long, Lord, your servants
are not
sleeping in the comforts of
sad sorrow? Awake, body of Christ. Arise with justice and mercy. O Christian, do not be afraid. Speak justice and show mercy.
Open our new lips, that we might advocate for the voiceless. Wash our blood-stained hands, that we might aid the burden.
The Lord calls us. Church, hear the cry of the oppressed. Give a prize to the person who can tell me who wrote the words to our first hymn and who wrote our prayer. Somebody? That's St. Francis of Assisi. He wrote both of these things, both the prayer and those wonderful words, because St. Francis was a person who simply loved the world and is generally shown surrounded by a flock of birds and small animals at his feet. And so it is that today we're celebrating that world in which we live. Let us enter into a time of prayer together. First, let us pray for our Avon United Methodist Church. Give us your presence, O Lord, in such a way that we become your witnesses in all that we do, so that people around the community will know those people at that church love one another. We pray, O Lord, for our nation. Amidst its struggles, economic and political, and also struggles over, we pray for those persons who are struggling with unemployment or struggling with damaged properties. God, help us as the people of America to reach out to one another. We pray for the world, for we realize that we are not alone on this planet. We pray for those people suffering in Afghanistan and Iraq, in Libya, Tunisia, Yemen, and Syria. Oh God, help us to find a sense of peace among all people, that the kingdom that you have proclaimed to us might become a true kingdom of this world. God, we give you thanks for the joys that have been expressed. We give you thanks that you are here with us now as we pray in the words that your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Gospel reading this morning is from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." May God add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Well, it certainly seemed pretty clear to me what Jesus had to say, but did you hear that line in the middle of that passage that was read? The disciples did not understand. Now, I can understand why I wouldn't understand, because Jesus was talking about sheep, and I was brought up in Chicago, and the only sheep we saw were in the butcher shop. And maybe that was the problem with these fellows. After all, they're mostly fishermen, tax collectors, and people like that. I don't remember there being any shepherds among them. Jesus, being the excellent teacher that he was, comes back around and builds on what he was saying, that I am the good shepherd, and I follow my sheep. I take care of my sheep. Well, it's an interesting thing, because shepherds have gone through very strange changes over the centuries. Back in the very beginning, you remember King David was called the shepherd, and that was an honorable title for King David. But by the time of Jesus, shepherds had deteriorated down to the point where they were not allowed to give witness in court. They were not allowed to go into the temple. They were considered dirty. Sheep are not the cleanest animals in the world. But anyway, they couldn't understand. But there are some things that Jesus said about the shepherd and about his being a shepherd, which I find very, very helpful for us today. The first thing that I discover when Jesus is talking is how he says, "I know my sheep. I call them by name." Remember Samuel. Samuel's call in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Samuel is an associate now to Eli. Eli is the chief of the temple. And religion had kind of fallen by the wayside. People had fallen away. They just let Eli do his thing, and they waited and watched Eli. Samuel heard his name called in the middle of the night. So he went to Eli and said, "Did you call?" "No, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." And Samuel heard his name called again. "Samuel, Samuel." And he went to Eli and said, "No, no, listen. Next time, Samuel, listen to the voice." And so it is that Samuel becomes acquainted with the voice and the name by which he is called to be the outstanding prophet of that particular era. He had to know his name was known by God, and that he understood his voice as well. That's a call to us too, to listen. I'm not very good at that, my wife will tell you. But to sit down and listen for the voice of the Lord. Something happens to me when that happens, and I feel drawn. And it's important for me to do that from time to time, and to recognize that God does call to us. Oh, maybe not with a loud voice, but in that strange, still voice that is his style with each of us.
All right, that's number one then. He knows our name and we know his voice, finally. There's a second point that comes out of this reading, it seems to me. And that is, don't get too comfortable with the personalization that I have just presented, where it's a matter of me and God, me and God. To me, that is the heresy of Protestantism, for the most part, is the individualization of the Christian faith. And the fact that we have lost what was just sung to us in such a lovely way. This is a house of prayer. This is a place of significance and meaning to us. Some of you have been worshiping in these walls for that many years. All the prayers that came out were acknowledgments that we are not individuals before God exclusively. We are a community gathered to worship the Lord. It comes out very interestingly with the shepherd story that we're dealing with. Several shepherds will bring their flocks together and form a corral where the sheep can rest for the night. And then the shepherds take turns lying across the doorway to that fold. The sun starts to come up, and our shepherd comes over to that doorway. And he speaks and calls the names of those sheep, especially the lead sheep. Because in a flock of sheep, generally certain ones tend to be the leaders. And they come out to him, and the others follow. And the other sheep just stay where they are because that's not their voice. That's not their call. And so it is that he leads them on the way to green pastures and still waters. Now, it's interesting, we don't know that procedure. In all of the West, both Europe and the United States, sheep are driven. In England, they have the four-wheel all-terrain vehicle, and a little dog sits up on the front sometimes. And then he comes to the sheep, and the dog runs off, and the dog goes one way, they drive the sheep. But in the Middle East, at the time this was written, it was not the style. It wasn't that Jesus drives us. It's that Jesus leads us. That Jesus shows us the way. And all of the sheep of that community have that sort of protection from the shepherd. But it's important to remember in our prayer time, ladies and gentlemen, to remember this community, which is so critical and important to us and means so much to the village of Avon and to the conference and to the world. Well, there's a third thing, and that already has been touched on a little bit. Jesus the shepherd protects and leads in a way and feeds his flock as well. With the rod and the staff, he is the guardian, literally and figuratively, the guardian of that flock. In Romans 8, I have my favorite passage of Scripture, pretty much, and it reminds me of the fact that I am always in the guardianship of the Lord. What shall separate me from the love of God? What shall separate me? Persecution or anything else? No, in all things, I feel the presence of the love of God, and nothing shall separate us from that love. So if you want the feeling of God's presence protecting, Romans 8 is a good place to start. We are going through difficult times, many of us. If there's somebody here who's had a real easy life, let me know afterwards, because you should box that up and sell it. Most of us have gone through the loss of parents and loved ones. Most of us have gone through difficult times in our jobs and so forth. The promise that comes down to us by the Lord is that he will, even in the presence of your enemies, he will set a table before you. And when this was done in the old days, if you were eating with somebody
who is a significant figure like the Lord, then people who are your enemies would wait and go away until a better time. And so it is, thou shalt set a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil to heal my wounds after being beaten over the head by life. My cup of coffee, it's so important in my mornings, is going to run over and overflow. And so it is that this promise of the host, now we've changed the figure from shepherd to host. This host will care for and give us what we need and protect us and lead us on our way. All right, one last, this is the fourth point. I don't know if you're counting. The very end of that scripture is, I will give you life and give you life abundant. He's not talking about heaven. He's talking about life today. Christ, in his promise to you and me, says that no matter what happens, I am going to give you not just simply life, I'm going to give you life abundant. Harold Beck was a professor at Boston University School of Theology, and he was dying of cancer. And he said to his students, I may not be healed, but I will be whole. I will be well. You know, even as things happen to us that are such tragedies in some respects, nevertheless, we are promised by God that we'll be made whole, that we'll be made complete. And actually, when we pass the peace, peace is a very weak word for me. I would rather use the Hebrew word shalom, because I know that when I say peace be with you, when I say shalom be with you, I'm saying may you feel the wholeness of life. May you feel the abundance of life, the healthiness of life, and the happiness of life. These are all wrapped up in that wonderful word, shalom. And so it is that the shepherd offers life and life abundant, shalom, in all of its ramification. I remember as a youngster, first thing I ever memorized was the Lord's Prayer of a scriptural sort. And the second thing was to remember the 23rd Psalm. Now, I bet some of you remember that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
One hope, one Lord, one church for which he died, one voice, one song we lift in praise to him who was and is and shall be one body.
To spread the word. May God bless us in our journey. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.
One faith, one hope, one Lord, with guest pastor David Durham on May 15th, 2011. Thoughts on John 10, 1 through 10. And how we can interpret it in greater depth. Also, the title song performed by Living Sun.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.